to why the coronavirus is here and when it'll go away and all that. But this one person posted I saw in there was kind of taking a poll to see who's going to have church today. And then he came up to this conclusion. He said, well, it appears that a lot of churches are closing for tomorrow, but apparently lots of Baptist churches are still having church. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, what's going to come next? What's going to be the next comment? And we're going to have more comments. I'm going to check it today. So I'm thinking, what does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, something is, okay, if I'm that preacher, if we're having church today, am I really bad because I still want to go roller skating? I don't know. It appears the Baptists are still meeting. Well, again, that's up to, I get to get this email from David Holm, and he said that the Baptist Commission had no intentions of saying no Baptist church, that would be at your discretion, and it said you should meet in, groups of 100, and I said, well, first, more than 100 here, we'll just, I guess we'll send some people more. But you know what I was really praying for? I'm just going to say, so I was praying, well, listen, we should be full today, because maybe the Catholics will show up today, because they're not having church, and you believe there'll be lots of churches that we're going to have church, and maybe we'll show up to you as you want them to be. He's right here, he desires to be right here. Right in our midst, in our presence, he desires to be right with you. But when two or more are gathered, so people could be having church in their home. I mean, I keep thinking that, why is this happening? Why is it going on? People say everything happens for a reason. Well, things happen, right? But as Christians, how do we react to that? Are we going to spend more time worrying about why this is happening or if it's going to get me? Or are we going to spend more time in his word, trusting him and preparing? This morning, I'll have to be honest, I was just praying about, what God might want me to preach on today. I was doing this series that takes us to the cross and thinking about this whole idea of the Lenten season. I've been doing a lot of that with the youth across the street, trying to teach them about this time when we're focused on Jesus. And last week we talked about heading to the cross and taking people with us. Well, this is a great time, and people are, worried. People are trying not to be afraid. People don't know what to think or what's going to happen. It's a great time to share Jesus with them and head to the cross, as we talked about last week. But as I was on Facebook, my cousin Chris Byrne, who's a pastor in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, I thought he had a little Facebook post. And I forget what it was called. It was just kind of an update from the pastor on Saturday. And he was sitting in the pew at his church, just him. And he started out by saying, well, tomorrow might just be me here. Well, there might be a few people. Might be more than we expect here tomorrow. But regardless, God will be here. And his word will be preached. And he was talking, and he gave a little devotion. And he talked about not being afraid. So that brings us this morning to 2 Chronicles, as I prayed and was listening to my cousin share some thoughts as a Baptist minister too. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 17 is a story about King Jehoshaphat, and there's this big event happening, okay? In this case, it's a war, okay? A fight. But there's a big event happening right now, and I pray that this scripture from the Old Testament might encourage your heart and maybe prepare you for the week and weeks to come as Christians in our faith. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we're going to begin in verse 1 and go to verse 17. It says, after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Munites or came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. So there's this war, okay? They're coming against Jehoshaphat. There's this war. There's this fight that's going to happen, okay? And it says here, some people, and as I was reading this morning and preparing again, some people, well, again, some people say this, some people are posting this, some people are saying that, and just people are saying all kinds of things right now in this event that's happening. So there's this war about to happen. These groups of people are coming against Jehoshaphat, are going to wage a war against him. And it says, some people came, okay? Now, as we read this scripture this morning, just kind of put it all in perspective where we are today. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It's already in Hazazon and Tamar. That is En-Gedi. It's interesting. It says some people came and told him that the army is coming. Right now it's here. Right now it's there. We've been hearing it it's in China. It's in Italy. It's here. It's already in Gypsy. I don't know. I don't think it is. But, I heard somebody this Monday at school. This guy, this little sixth grader, he really turns his grandma for lots of wisdom and direction. He said, my grandma said that there was, no, he said, hey, I heard, he gives me all these conversations on Monday morning. Hey, I heard that there's this doctor at UHC, and he went out of the country, he was in Italy, and he got the disease, the coronavirus. I'm always staying here, coronavirus, people are like tiptoeing around him. The coronavirus, and he went to visit this patient in the nursing home, and everybody has it there. I said, where? She said, Clarksburg. I said, who told you? Your grandma? Yeah. My grandma told me that. I said, do you believe that? I don't know. I said, let's get on the news and see if I'm sure it'll be in the news this morning. Did you watch the news this morning? I bet you, I guarantee it's on the news. I didn't see it on the news, but I guarantee it's on the news. So some people are talking and saying, it's here, it's there. And so this is what's happening. These people come to Jehoshaphat and say, hey, they're on their way. This is where they are. And they're coming. They're coming. Alarm Jehoshaphat. Now he's alarmed, okay? If people are apparently coming to get him, he should be alarmed, right? Okay? So, alarmed, it says, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. That's really important for us to understand this morning. He heard, people told him, they say this is going to happen. He's alarmed, right? We're alarmed of what's happening. And he decides, I'm going to have to ask the Lord about this. Anything that happens in your life, do you seek the Lord for help, right? No matter what's happening and what's going on. I spent my last week praying with all these people that had these surgeries. They're all, thank you, Pastor. Well, there were lots of us praying. All these had good outcomes this week. They really did. Everything worked out. But people were praying, you were praying, we were praying together, we were seeking God's help in all these situations, and with the birth of a baby, and these people that weren't sure if all the cancer would be removed, or this back surgery might work. So he's being told, all these things are happening, but he didn't really know that to be, because think about it, back then it really was hearsay, it wasn't tweeted, and it wasn't posted, and it wasn't in the news. So they come and tell him this, and he's alarmed. So he resolved to inquire to the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of you. What does that mean? People are doing that now, right? Fasting, giving up things for Lent. There's a situation. There's an event that's happening or about to happen, and we're going to focus on the Lord, focus on our faith. That's what Lent's about. We're focusing our attention on Jesus, being reminded his body was broken, his blood was shed for all of us, for all people everywhere. So it says the people of Judah came together, it says there in verse 4. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. So again, some people are just saying there's a war coming. They're on their way. They're almost here. So instead of even preparing for battle, and instead of talking about it, what are they doing? They're seeking the Lord for help. People are coming from everywhere. Not to get toilet paper. People are coming from everywhere seeking the Lord, right? People are coming together and praying. I kept reading this over and over this morning. I said, man, these people are coming together seeking the Lord for help. And we should all be up there at Walmart today and not worry anything about toilet paper and just pray in the parking lot. I mean, Walmart always needs prayer, right? maybe we should come together, right? I mean, these first four verses really spoke to me. I mean, there's this war. People are, they're waging this war against Jehoshaphat, and people say they're on their way, so he seeks God's help. And all these people kind of follow him, right? He's a person of authority, right? Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard. So here's all these people worried about this war. These people are coming. They're getting closer. This event is about to happen. The Lord, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand. And no one can withstand you. So he's recognizing that, I believe, he's recognizing here in verse 6 that God's the only one can help them at this point. He's seeking true help, right, from God. Lord, the God of our ancestors. This is a prayer. He's speaking to God. Are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of all the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. So he doesn't appear to be afraid, does he? The people may be afraid, but this leader of this army, probably, that should be gathering his troops, he's not seeing anyone. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? So I think that what he's trying to do here, these people have got to say, hey, God's taking care of us before to do it again. God's in control. No one can defeat him. No one can come against him. So bring them on. Who cares how close they might be? Some people say they're getting closer. Some people. He says they have lived in it, have built in it sanctuary, your name sanctuary. Just going on, he's just kind of, I believe, again, these people come and tell King Jehoshaphat. And maybe he even knew what about that. Man, okay, well, I'm going to ask God what we should do. Should we always do that? Are people doing that today? Today? Right now? And so we're talking about what really, I believe, what God has done here. It talks about it. They have lived in it and have built it in a sanctuary in your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, listen to this, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or the plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. Wow. So there's an event that's about to happen. People are talking about it. They say it's getting closer. So these people who I believe know that God's the one that can help us, they get together and say, So anything that comes against us, we're going to cry out in our distress, and God will hear us, and he'll help us, and he'll save us. I believe that. I know God will save us from this or anything else, any other event that might happen. Wow, I call upon God every day to help me. When I get up in the mornings, I continue to remind you, God, wherever you want me to go today, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to be, I'm ready. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll be who you call me to be. So, man, here's these people. He reminded us who, what, this is God. We're not talking about Jesus yet. This is Old Testament. We're not talking about Jesus. We're talking about God. And again, they haven't seen him. And he's going to hear us and save us in our time of distress. So again, as we're reading this scripture this morning, again, hopefully it's an encouragement to us. I encourage others. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how, in verse 11, see how they were paying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. This is talking about what's happening. Our God, will you not judge them? So again, they're not really focused on the enemy, so to speak, because they're believing, well, God's going to take care of them, but God's going to take care of us. If someone's coming to get us, someone's coming after us, God says, I'll take care of you, but I'll also take care of them. See, we try to settle things and solve things and take revenge on people who hurt us or hurt our children or our family. God says, don't you worry about that. I'll take care of you, and I'll take care of that situation. It says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our God, who will not, our God, will you not judge them? Yeah, he will. For we have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Wow. How many times are you in a situation where you don't know what to do? But I'm just going to turn my eyes upon Jesus. I'm going to turn my eyes upon Jesus. You don't know what to do right now, right? We talk about this coronavirus, people don't really know what it means or who it affects, or there's all this hearsay and all kinds of conflicting opinions all over the news and social media. We have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's certainly a message that everybody needs to hear today. But not just right now because of the coronavirus, but every day. Well, I don't know what to do. I'm supposed to do this, supposed to go there. I'm using a pencil, not a pen. But I'm just looking to you for guidance and direction. My eyes are on the cross. It says all the men of Judah in verse 13 with their wives and children, little ones, stood there before the Lord. So here's all these people, again, not knowing what's about to happen or not knowing how they should react to it, but some people told them the enemy's on its way. So we're going to stand here before God. Our eyes are on him. When the Spirit of the Lord came on Jaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, and the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah. I practiced this morning. It's pretty good, right? A Levite and a descendant of Asaph as he stood in the assembly. So the Spirit of the Lord comes upon this group, these people, right? And again, Jehoshaphat, he hears these things. Some people told these things. He said, I'm going to go to God. I'm going to get some direction here. And I'll share it with you. I'm going to get some direction. I'm going to share with you. And see, I think that's my role as a pastor. I'm always in prayer and constantly asking God for guidance, and I'm going to share it with you. God gave me this message this morning. I'm going to share it with you. So here they are. And he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God. Do not be afraid or discouraged of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. I think today God might say to the whole world, to all of us, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this virus or whatever else you might be facing, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. See, this coronavirus is spreading or going on. It's been happening. But people still are struggling through cancer, right? And doing treatment, have other health issues and health problems. That's their battle. And God says, no matter what it is, do not be discouraged because of whatever you might be facing, this vast army, the enemy that's coming against you, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. So here comes some direction. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the passes is, and then you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeru. So, but first, they decided that God's the one that can help us. And they're being instructed to not be afraid, because this battle is not yours, it's God's. God's got this. You just listen. And you just pay attention and follow the directions and do what I tell you to do. It'll all be taken care of. How do we know what God wants us to do? We got to spend more time in his word. So if you end up at home and don't get to go to work or school, maybe you can spend more time in his word. All of us, including me, we're spending more time talking to him and praying to him for guidance and direction. Tomorrow is what you do. But don't go afraid. Don't go into this. If you're afraid, you're worried, and you don't think God can take care of this, then don't even get up. I kind of think about that in our lives. When you get up in the morning, if you're defeated and discouraged, and you're afraid to stay in bed, right? Or get up on your 2 feet and say, God, I'm not going to be afraid today. Sometimes we know that, you know, it's kind of like when there's an event happening and kids get real excited about field trips and special trips and vacations. What, you can't get into bed? They're all up early, ready to go. But sometimes we know something that we really don't want to face, or just say, oh, I just really don't want to get up today and go my way. Or everybody, right? Oh, I don't really want to get up and go to the doctor today because I know what he's going to say. Don't want to get up and go to work today. If you get up, don't be afraid or discouraged, because whatever you face tomorrow, God's got it. And there's the instruction. You will not have to fight this battle, it says in verse 17. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.
go out to face
good words for today. And we're recording it right now. And as it's being recorded, maybe someone else might hear this that couldn't be in church. And I believe there might be some people that aren't in church today that are afraid. Now, I think that's okay. I mean, I really do. I don't think about it. You know what I mean? If you have these symptoms or existing conditions, you know, Pam has some breathing issues. We know she deals with that. And I said, you should not come to Mark, because if you do, we'll send you home. Right? So you got to be smart, right? I believe God says He'll take care of us. And He'll provide for us. But also, we got to do our part. We've got to take our precautions, as I talked about. We're going to do that here. But every day, we got to do our part, and God takes care of the rest. But don't be afraid, and don't worry. Because this is God speaking to the people and kind of giving some direction here to King Jehoshaphat. He knew what he needed to do. He wasn't really sure what was about to happen. I don't think he was really sure. You know, this army's coming. They're coming to attack him. They're coming after him. Some people said they're close. They're almost here. But what's he do? He says, all right, wait a minute. Everybody calm down. Everybody calm down. Let's go to the Lord. Let's find out what we need to do. That's what he did. He calmed a whole group of people down. Because this one person decided to calm down and trust in Jesus. Man, I think we could do that too. We can help some people calm down as Christians, as children of God, as the church. Maybe we can help some people calm down and relax and realize it's going to be okay. God's got this. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow. So whatever you face tomorrow, God says, get up. Get up and go, and I'll be with you. I mean, is that what we do always? Not just now, but I hope that's what we always do. Get up in the morning and say, God, whatever you have in store for me, whatever I'm about to face today, whatever comes against me today, I don't have to fight this now. Because you got me back. That's why you then later see your son Jesus, right? Then Jesus comes and he tells the people, too, what? Well, read that scripture. Do not be afraid. Do not worry. Trust in me. Trust in me. Trust also in God. Do not let your heart be troubled. Jesus told the disciples, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Do not be afraid. So as we read that in scripture this morning, I pray that's always your source of encouragement and hope. God's word. I'm encouraged when we get together as his people. And we fellowship together, we pray together, we sing together, and study His Word together. I'm encouraged when we get together and fellowship together and do things together and react as a family together. And I will assure you that in the days to come, God's going to give you some opportunities to show His love to other people. God's going to give you some opportunities to show Christ's compassion on the world. It may be in a small way, it may be in a bigger way. But I'm already thinking about what could we do here at the Baptist Church to help people get through this difficult time so they won't be afraid and they won't be discouraged. And in the midst of all this, maybe there's going to be a revival. Maybe lots of people will come to Jesus. And lots of churches will be full after all this is over. That's how I believe that. I'm praying that. And again, as I work with kids and children and people of all ages, just continue to pray with them. And we'll miss being together. We're not sure what's going to happen. But our trust and faith in Him. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow. Go out and face tomorrow. And the Lord will be with you. God, we thank you for this great promise that we read in your word this morning. That no matter what tomorrow brings, no matter what we face tomorrow, you're in charge. You're in control. And God, we pray for our country right now. We pray for our world. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for each other. This won't be the last virus, certainly not the first. But I believe, God, that you're up there watching to see how we're going to react. I believe you're watching over us to see what the church is going to do. Are we going to be afraid too? Are we going to worry? Or are we going to put our trust in the one who created all things? Send His Son Jesus to die for our sins, for all of us. God, I thank you for those that are here this morning. I miss those in our God, you know my burden. I'm just praying for the kids, worried about the kids. Try not to be. But God, you'll take care of them. You'll take care of us. So God, as your word tells us, sometimes it's just hard to not worry. It's hard to not be afraid in some cases. But But God, you're in control. Just as Jehoshaphat's seeking your guidance, may we do that today and every day. Seek your guidance and direction in all things. Because this battle is not ours, it's yours. And you already won it for your son Jesus, who came and conquered the world, that we might receive victory. Victory in Jesus. God, I pray if anyone here this morning doesn't know you as our Savior today, make sure. Someone that might need to be baptized or wants to join a church or just feels like, God, you're calling them to something. You don't know what it is. Or we just need prayer. We're concerned. We're trying not to worry. We're trying not to be afraid. Come to the altar. Come to Jesus.